Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 39 at 22,370. It's a record high close for the Dow. And whenever there is a record high close for the Dow Jones Industrial Average, we have a celebration at the Money Radio Megaplex. The Money Radio Symphonic Orchestra plays, well, it's a little bit different today, celebratory theme music of sorts. Sure, works for me. Money Radio staff gathers in the control room. We've got Doreen with the candles, of course, Renee, Josh, Wes, James, wearing what looks to be some sort of sweatpants. What, you going to the gym later? That's a good idea, I know. A lot of cookies lately. You gotta work them off. That's right. Chris and Marcus joining us as well. Jeffrey deciding not to be antisocial today. Good to see you, sir. Okay. We've got a few people in there anyway. No, I'm sorry. We did not have an internationally renowned author bringing us cookies and milk today. I don't know what we have in the bistro. I know there's still some milk in the fridge. And if you look in the cabinet over the sink, I know there's some Oreo cookies up there. So if you... Well, look at that. The celebration just kind of broke down right there. Yeah, they're just wandering off. A few of them have candles lit, a few of them don't. They're just wandering down the hallway. Gonna go get some cookies and milk, I suppose. Well, the fun never stops. Dow Industrial's up 39 at 22,370. It's a record high close. S&P 500 up 2 at 2,506. Also another record high close there. NASDAQ Composite up 6 at 6,461. That's a record high close as well. Russell 2000 small and mid caps off a fraction to finish at 1440. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note up 1 basis point at 2.24%. Oil down 6 cents at $49.85 per barrel. Gold up $3.60 at $13.1170 per ounce. For the Dow Industrial Average, this is the sixth record high in a row. The S&P has a streak of 3 record highs. Fun never stops. Federal Reserve will wrap up its two-day meeting tomorrow. Well, maybe the fun will stop. They'll release an announcement on monetary policy at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Arizona. Although we don't see any surprise rate increase this month, the betting at the Chicago Merc is for a 57% likelihood of a rate increase at the December meeting. Now, there's no meeting in November, and then after December, the next planned Fed get-together is back in March, and Fed Chair Janet Yellen's term expires in February, so December seems like the time to increase rates a quarter point. At the current meeting, traders are expecting talk of downsizing the Fed's $4.5 trillion bond portfolio. The Fed has outlined its plan and will be only taking baby steps at first. At first, it'll sell treasuries and mortgage-backed securities to reduce its holdings by only $10 billion per month. And as time and conditions warrant, it'll work up to $50 billion per month. Now, Wall Street typically just loves economic stimulus and typically throws a tantrum when the punch bowl is taken away. So we'll see. President Trump delivered his first speech to the United Nations General Assembly this morning. Trump escalated his standoff with North Korea over its nuclear challenge, threatening to totally destroy the country of 26 million people, mocking its leader, Kim Jong-un, as a rocket man. A bipartisan group of 10 governors, including the Republican governors of Alaska, Nevada, and Ohio, expressed opposition to a last-ditch Republican effort to repeal and replace most of Obamacare. The bill must pass by a September 30th deadline under a process known as reconciliation that makes it possible for Republicans to get around any filibuster attempt by Democrats. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he's only going to bring the legislation to the floor if it has the needed 50 votes to pass. So far, a vote has not been scheduled. Meanwhile, negotiations to stabilize the ACA market exchanges have broken down. Senate Republicans failed to repeal Obamacare in July. Talks began on fixing the law rather than dismantling it, but now that's fallen apart. Trump threatened to withhold billions in Obamacare subsidies, and that has the potential to upend private insurance markets. Top Republicans on a key Senate panel have reached a tentative agreement on a tax plan that would add $1.5 trillion to the government's $20 trillion debt over the next 10 years. The figure would allow deeper cuts to tax rates than would be allowed if Republicans followed through on an earlier promise that their upcoming tax overhaul would not add to the deficit. The divide between the Senate GOP's deficit hawk and supply-side wings has to be overcome before action on this fall's tax measure can commence in earnest. Unlike the House, Senate Republicans aren't planning to pair the tax measure with spending cuts. The work of the budget panel is critical since Republicans need to agree on a Capitol Hill budget plan in order to pass a follow-up tax bill. Both House and Senate Republicans are divided, and the budget debate is months behind schedule. Many Republicans in Washington promised that cutting corporate and individual rates and ridding the code of inefficient tax breaks, deductions, and preferences will boost the economy and cause a burst of new revenue. But the outlines of their tax plan itself remain secret, and it's still not clear how successful they'll be in cleaning up the loophole-choked tax code. Congress's impartial scorekeepers have accepted the premise of what's known as dynamic scoring, but past studies by the Joint Tax Committee and the Congressional Budget Office have been cautious about how much economic growth and tax revenues would follow tax cuts. If, as it appears, the tax plan would add to the deficit, the development also means, under the Senate rules governing fast-track debate on the budget and taxes, some of the provisions in the upcoming tax measure might have to be temporary. The House Financial Services Committee has published a report entitled, "Did the CFPB Let Wells Fargo Beat the Rap?" The report claims the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau could have fined Wells Fargo $10 billion instead of the $100 million or so last year for the unauthorized customer accounts fraud. The regulator settled for so much less to resolve the matter quickly. Well, the Equifax hack just keeps getting worse. A security failure exposed the personal information of some 143 million Americans. Equifax now says 100,000 Canadian consumers may have had their personal information compromised as well. The SEC is investigating the sale of company stock by three executives days after the breach, but before it was publicly announced. There are multiple lawsuits in the pipeline. Now, Equifax says it had a security breach earlier this year that involved a different part of the company than the one accessed in the larger hack. That breach involved Taux, which is Equifax's human resources and payroll service. The company said there's no evidence that the Taux breach, which happened between March and April this year, and the wider breach are related. Hurricane Maria expected to hit Puerto Rico tomorrow morning with Category 5 winds of up to 160 miles per hour. There's also concern about flooding from heavy rains and storm surge. Puerto Rico is still suffering from Hurricane Irma, which grazed the island, knocking out power and communications. If Maria retains its strength, it would be the most powerful hurricane to hit Puerto Rico in at least 85 years, and it's expected to go right through the middle of the island. A magnitude 7.1 earthquake rocked central Mexico today, centered just south of Mexico City, killing at least 44 people. Buildings collapsed in plumes of dust. Thousands fled into the streets. The quake came less than 2 weeks after another quake left 90 dead in the country's south, and it occurred as Mexicans commemorated the anniversary of a 1985 quake that killed thousands. Construction on new houses down 0.8% in August to an annual rate of 1.18 million from an upwardly revised 1.19 million in July. Although housing starts were down 7.9% in the south, Hurricane Harvey had very little impact. The storm only made landfall at the end of the month. Hurricane Irma did not hit Florida until September. Permits to build new homes jumped 5.7% to a 1.3 million rate. That matches the level in January, marks the second highest amount since 2007. Post Holdings will buy refrigerated foods producer Bob Evans Farms in a deal with an equity value of about $1.5 billion. Post, a consumer goods holding company, will pay $77 for each Bob Evans share, about 5.6% above Monday's closing price. Shares of Sprint up more than 6% after a CNBC report reignited speculation that the mobile company is in talks to merge with T-Mobile. Shares of T-Mobile up more than 3%. Shares of other mobile carriers also saw a bit of a bump today. The FTC has signed off on a deal for Walgreens Boots Alliance to buy 2,186 Rite Aid stores for right at $5.2 billion. That amounts to a much smaller deal than the one that the companies originally sought when Walgreens pushed to buy Rite Aid. That was pared down after opposition from regulators. As expected, Toys R Us has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. Court allowed Toys R Us to borrow up to $2 billion to start paying suppliers so it can stock up on toys for the holiday season. FedEx reported a lower quarterly net profit due to service disruptions following June's cyber attack on its Dutch delivery unit TNT Express and also Hurricane Harvey. FedEx shares lower in after hours. Bed Bath & Beyond reported earnings far below expectations, shares down about 12%. Dow Industrials up 39 at 22,370, a record. S&P 500 up 2 at 2,506. NASDAQ Composite up 6 at 6,461, also a record. As always, follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio. And the daily blog is eatthebankers.com.